Bóg jest dobry. Bóg jest wierny. Bóg jest nami. You're not very trusting. What I said in Polish is, God is good. God is faithful. And most of all, God is with us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Sister, on behalf of my wife and I really want to thank you for that beautiful quilt. I sent a picture of it to her already, and she can't wait to get her hands up on it. So thank you so much. God bless you. You're part of the missionary family. Amen. Amen. We're kin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And as your pastor said, we met about 20 years ago or so in Tupelo, Mississippi. And I'm so glad to see them again. I'm so glad to be in Texas. I'm sorry my wife could not be here. My wife is up in Wisconsin where we're from. You heard of Wisconsin? I know you have because you're from Minnesota. Heard of Wisconsin? Yeah. We're way up north where we have two seasons. We have winter and then not so winter. I think last year summer was on a Tuesday. Praise the Lord. You people are insane for living in this heat. You know, give me the 20, 30 below zero any day, man. The best part of that is there's no mosquitoes. Praise the Lord. But hallelujah, I'm so glad to be here. You know, I don't take for granted whenever we gather together in Jesus' name. Whenever we come to church, the Bible tells us that the Lord is here because wherever two or more are gathered, He's here. And so if the Lord is here, then that means the Lord has something for everybody tonight. Whether this is your first time in church or you've been saved 100 years, whether you're the preacher, you're sitting in the chairs, it doesn't matter. God has something for you tonight. You know, my wife and I were not raised in an apostolic church. I wish to God we had been. And I want to tell especially young people, the best testimony you could ever have in your life is that you were raised in an apostolic home and God has kept you from the things of the world. There is no better testimony. Praise the Lord. But my wife and I were not so fortunate. We were raised Roman Catholic. And at the age of 26, we became roaming Catholics. And we happened to roam into an apostolic church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Now, being Catholic, I thought I was going to get zapped with a lightning bolt for going to a Protestant church. But not only did I go to a Protestant church, I went to an apostolic church. They were clapping, they were singing, they were shouting, they were dancing. And I thought, like they say in Russian, Tuk tuk nefsedoma. You know what that means in Russian? It means knock, knock, nobody's home. I thought they were crazy. But I felt something in that church that I had never felt before in my life. Even though I had a love for God, I had nobody that could show me. Even though I went to Mass every Sunday, and I love God, I didn't know the way of the Lord more perfectly. But I'm here to tell you that God loves Roman Catholics. Amen. And Lutherans and Protestants and all the Protestants and everybody else. And I'm so happy to report that I've repented of my sins. I've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I have never been the same since. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One thing I found out is that Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. Amen. Amen. And that relationship is daily. It doesn't matter. You know, people say, well, I received the Holy Ghost 75 years ago. That's great. That's wonderful. But, you know, we ask people a question. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Or do you have the Holy Ghost? But here's an equally important question, and that is, does the Holy Ghost have you? Amen. It's one thing to receive it 75 years ago. It's one thing to have it 75 years ago, but it's another thing to have it today active in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the Holy Ghost is not given so you speak in tongues. You speak in tongues as evidence of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is not for running the aisles and jumping the pews. It's for living an overcoming life. It's to lead you into all truth. And God is here tonight. I heard one man witness to a man, and he had not witnessed a man. He talked to a brother in the church who missed a Wednesday night service. And the brother that missed a service, he said, "How was church tonight?" And the brother that went to church, he said, "Well, you know, it was an ordinary Wednesday night service." I beg to differ with you. How can you have an ordinary Wednesday night service when the presence of an extraordinary God is in the house? That's not possible. Now maybe you had an ordinary service. You know, have you ever noticed in the Bible, I don't have any of this written down, I'm just talking. One thing good about a missionary, if you don't like him, an hour from now, he's gone. Praise the Lord. But, you know, when you read the scriptures, every time you read about the Lord, there were always crowds. Everywhere he went, there were crowds, except when he went up to a mountain alone to pray. I'm thinking of one story in particular with blind Bartimaeus sitting by the side of the road. Now, he's blind. He can't see the Lord, but I'm sure he can feel the excitement. He can hear the people. And Jesus comes walking down the road. And if you read that story carefully, you will find that Jesus was not stopping for any of those people. He was walking right past those crowds. But all of a sudden, one person cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And all those good people that came to hear and watch Jesus, they got upset. And they said, "Be quiet." But thank God, Bartimaeus got encouraged. Because the Bible says he cried out the more, "Jesus." And then you read these words. Then Jesus stopped. He stopped when somebody recognized that they had a need. Somebody needed Christ. And as far as we know, everybody else in that story went home untouched, unchanged, even though they were in the presence of the Lord. Now, you and I are here tonight, and we are in the presence of God. Whether you can feel it or not doesn't matter. We know that we are in his presence. And it is not God's will for any of us to go home untouched, unchanged. The will of God for every one of our life is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And I believe that if you are not growing in Christ, you are backsliding. Because it's God's will that you grow to be mature Christians. So, God is here tonight, not because the missionary is here tonight, but we have gathered in his name. And so God has business for each one of us. Praise the Lord. You know, I told you I'm from Wisconsin. Wisconsin's America's Dairyland. We have more cows in Wisconsin than we do people. And we have 4 million people, so you can imagine how many cows we have. But we have a saying up there that goes like this. Just because you walk into a barn every day does not make you a cow. That's good country wisdom. And just because you go to church every Sunday doesn't make you a Christian either. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we need to open up our hearts as we open up the Word of God tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to do a quick advertisement if I could. I have a table back there. I have one last piece of Polish glass that's handmade that I'm selling. If you're interested, you can buy it. I brought a pig to church. I don't know if you saw it. I brought a pig to church. Don't worry. She's all cleaned up, and she's got a little tutu on and wearing a crown. She's kind of a cute little thing out there on the table. And what that pig is for, she's very, very hungry because Sergey, Pastor Sergey, who you met, he was here with me. He's preaching another church. He wore out his first car for the gospel. He put 350,000 kilometers on his first car that was 13 years old, and now we're buying him a new used car. Now, the average salary in Ukraine is $200 a month, and Ukraine has some of the lowest gas prices in all of Europe. They pay $4.50 a gallon. In Germany and in France, they pay about $8 or $9 a gallon. We pay about $6 in Poland. But thank God to be in America. Amen. They're having the half price sale on gasoline. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory. Doesn't that make you shout? Woo! Amen. Some of you are not excited as I am. Praise the Lord. But anyway, so we're helping Sergey to buy a new used car. So please feed our pig. We also have bookmarks back there. Please take a bookmark. And when you see that, please remember to pray for us. We have also a prayer card. Now, we've been on the mission field for 25 years. My family and I were the first family from UPC to live in the Soviet Union when the wall came down. And we opened up the country of Belarus. We've opened up Poland, Moldova, now Ukraine. And we're actually area coordinators, so we now work in a 12 time zone period. That's half the globe. We go from Poland to the Sea of Japan, 3 miles from Alaska. We go to Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Republic of Georgia, and all those other places. And God's doing a great work. And we run across situations that are life and death. You know, in Azerbaijan, if you get caught saying Jesus on the street, you go to prison. And yet we found 2,000 oneness believers in that nation, and probably a whole lot more. So we have, praise the Lord, hallelujah. So we have a lot of need. So we're asking you, if you will, just to print your name on the bottom part and print your email so that we can read it. Sometimes we can't read what people write. I'm not criticizing anybody. But tear off that bottom part, keep the bottom part on the table, and take this top part, and we will contact you. We're not going to ask you for any money. We're just going to ask you for prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So anyway, that's my spiel for tonight. I wish my wife was here. My wife and I have been married 46 years. I'm so thankful to have a wife that doesn't mind leaving the good life to go overseas. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you would turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, I want to thank your pastor and his wife again for allowing us to be here. And thank you for that. I'll tell you what, that is a wonderful rest for missionaries. That evangelist quarters is just unbelievable. My wife would so love that place. It's so peaceful, and we thank you for allowing us to stay there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, probably everybody could quote this. But it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Praise the Lord. You may be seated. The Bible says without faith you cannot please God. You can pray all day. You can come to church every time the church doors are open. You can read your Bible every day. You can give all your money to the church. But if you don't do it in faith, you're not pleasing God. There's a man in my home church that he prayed and God gave him a great miracle. And after he received this miracle, he asked the pastor if he could give a testimony. So the pastor said, "Go ahead and give your testimony." So he talked about this great thing that God did. And at the end of the testimony, he said, "I don't believe it." Now, he really did believe it. But what he was saying is he was shocked that God answered his prayer. Now, saints of God, how in the world can you say you pray in faith and then you're shocked if God answers your prayer? When the Bible says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not." So you have to have faith. And the Bible says you have to believe that he is. In other words, that there is a God, and he is who he says he is, and he can do and will do what he says he can and will do. And then the Bible says he rewards them that diligently seek him. The casual seeker will not find him. Now, that's not just written for the unbeliever. That's for the believer, too. You can be born again, but if you stop seeking God, you're not going to find him like you should. The Bible says you have to search for him like you're looking for silver or you're looking for gold. And then you will find him. You know, I'm 69 years old. You're shocked, aren't you? Because I look so young. You know why? Because all my hair hasn't come in yet. I'm a late bloomer. You're laughing, but there's other late bloomers out there. Just be patient. Praise the Lord. But I'm 69 years old. If I were to go out in the parking lot and drop a penny, I would have to give a lot of thought to whether I'm going to go all the way down there and pick up that penny. Now, if my shoe is untied, okay, maybe, because then I can do two things at one time. See, because that penny doesn't mean that much to me. But I'll guarantee you, if I lose my wallet out there with my credit cards or whatever, I will search that place over and over and over. If it gets dark, I'll get a flashlight, and I'll still be out there looking because it's valuable. So how do we seek God? The Bible says we have to seek him as if we're looking for silver or gold. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible says you can't please God without faith. So what is faith? Some people say faith is just, you know, like repeat after me. Repeat after me and you'll be saved. I'm not making fun of people, but talking is not faith. Anybody can say anything. As a matter of fact, you go outside these four walls, you'll find a lot of people that brag and boast and talk about things that they could never do. Amen. But faith is always action. If you have faith, you will act on your faith. As a matter of fact, the truth is, everybody living on this planet, they live what they believe. Amen. Amen. They act on their faith. So faith is not talking. Faith is action. And if you're going to receive anything from God, you have to put feet to your faith or you will not receive anything. When I came in the church as a Catholic, never had been to a Protestant church, let alone an apostolic church, and they told me I could repent of my sins and I could take on the name of Jesus in baptism and I could praise the Lord and God would fill me with the Holy Ghost, I could have gone home and said, wow, that was really good. I felt goosebumps. I felt the presence of God and all this. But if I didn't do it, if I didn't put feet to my faith, I would have received nothing. I had to go to the altar where I repented and I lifted up my voice and cried out to God. I went to the baptismal water where I was baptized in Jesus' name. I lift up my hands. I began to seek God. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. After I put feet to my faith, I received the promise of God. Yes, amen. Amen. And that's how it always is. If you've been saved or you're just here for the first time, it doesn't matter. You're not going to receive anything from God until you put feet to your faith. Praise the Lord. And the Bible's replete with examples, and I don't have time to go through them all. But let me just give you a couple examples. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You know what that means? That means that Noah acted on something that humans had never seen before. Rain from heaven. Rain from the sky. The Bible lets us know it had never rained on the earth before. That was a concept that humans did not understand. And so Noah looked pretty foolish building a boat, telling people they had to get in. But the Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen of yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Noah did not wait for the rains to come. He heard God. He didn't understand it completely, but he built the boat, and after he built the boat, he received the promises of God. Amen. Look at another example, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham's in the Ur of Chaldees minding his own business. God said, you leave this place, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Can you imagine Abraham having a garage sale? Is that what you call them down here, garage sales? Got all his stuff out there. People come over, hey, what you doing, Abraham? Well, we're moving. Really, where are you going? I don't know. That seems pretty foolish, doesn't it? But you know what? You notice that nothing happened until Abraham left the Ur of Chaldees, and then he received the promise. If he had stayed there, I'll guarantee you, he would not have received the promise. Amen. Look at one last example, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promise. God told Abraham that he was going to give him a child. Now here's the little secret. Abraham was 75 years old when God gave him that promise. Can you imagine a 75-year-old man running around saying, we're going to have a baby, we're going to have a baby. I'm 69 years old, I don't run around saying that. He was 75 years old. And here's another thing. He didn't receive that promise right away. He didn't receive it until 25 years later. 25 years he's going around saying, we're going to have a baby. He didn't stay 75 years old. And when he was 100 years old, he received the promise that God saved, that God said, because he counted him faithful. You always have to put feet to your faith to receive something from God. I know what I'm talking about, because when I went to the mission field, I was not a preacher. I have a degree in marketing education. I have another degree in computer science, not exactly spiritual subjects. And for 13 years, I was principal of a Christian school in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Now, some people say kids hate school. That's not true. It's the principal of the thing they hate, and I was the principal. Somebody got that one. Thank you for laughing. My wife doesn't think I'm funny, but anyway. But I went to our library one time, and I took out a book that talked about the persecuted saints of the Soviet Union. I began to read that book, and I started sharing it with my wife. We read it together. We had to repent, because even though we called ourselves brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters over in the Soviet Union were being tortured and killed for the name of Jesus, but I was too busy patty caking for Jesus. I had my Christian radio. I had my Christian magazine. I had my Christian conferences to go to. And here my brothers and sisters were being tortured and beaten in the Soviet Union. I repented, and for almost every day for 10 years, we prayed for the persecuted saints of the Soviet Union. It was February 1992. I went to a Sunday evening service. At the end of the service, I went to the altar and I said this: God, I'll make you a promise. If you make it possible for me to go to the Soviet Union, I will go. You better be careful what you pray for, because God always hears your prayers. A few months later, same year, 1992, I received a phone call from a man. I don't have time to go into all the detail, but a man, he talked to my pastor, and then he called me. He knew nothing about my prayer, knew nothing about my burden for the Soviet Union. And when he called me, he said, the Minister of Education for the country of Belarus wants somebody to come over to their nation to help put biblical principles into their public school system. Something I cannot do in America. When I received that phone call, I wept, because God made a way where there was no way. Hallelujah. We weren't of Russian descent. We couldn't speak the language or anything else, and off we went to the Soviet Union. We spent the first 5 weeks in Moscow, city of 12 million people. I remember going to a large grocery store. Back then, you had to search for food because you, I mean, you had to search because you, it was hard to find. The average salary in Belarus when we went there was $10 a month. And even though we first went to a city of 12 million people, we had to go from store to store to store to try to find food. I remember being in this large, mostly empty grocery store, and my wife is standing there crying because everything was behind the counters. She wasn't crying to go home. She was crying because we couldn't even function in the country. Everything was behind counters, so we stood in this long line, and it was a meat counter, and when we got over there, we didn't know what to say. All we could do is point and grunt like, And then they yelled something out at us. Well, we speak Russian now, but we didn't back then. And what they were yelling was the price. Well, we didn't know that. We finally, it dawned on us, we kind of pantomimed, could you write it down? They wrote it down, so then we stood in a long line to the cashier, and we had these rubles. We didn't know what rubles were. They had rabbits on them. They had squirrels on them. They had wolves on them and buffalo and all this kind of, we didn't know what it was. Anyway, we'd pay and we'd get the receipt, and then we had to go and stand in line to pick up our product. Everything was lines. And we found out from experience that if you didn't bring your own bag, you carried that meat home in your hand. Try that on a subway of 12 million people. Amen. Well, we were able to get an apartment in Minsk, Belarus. We went down there. It's a miracle how we got an apartment. Minsk is the capital city of Belarus, White Russia. And I met the Minister of Education again, and when I met him, he said, I'm sorry to waste your time and bring you over here, but I've changed my mind. He said, you see, if I let you do what I want you to do and the communists come back to power, they'll put me in prison. Now, he's a smart man because the communists have come back to power. That man did go to prison. So now he said, you're on your own. I went back to our apartment. I remember every day looking out the window, seeing people in a city of 2 million people walking by my window, tears coming down my face because I knew God called me there, but I couldn't even speak to him. We could have given up and gone home. We could have called our pastor and said, you know, it didn't work out. We're coming home. But here's one thing I knew. God made a way where there was no way. God opened a door that I could not open. And I'm here to tell you, if God puts you in a place where he wants you, he will obligate himself to provide you with a miracle. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I knew that God would absolutely give us a miracle. Some time went by, and we were home one day, and our telephone rang. Do you know what it's like to be in a foreign country? You can't speak the language and your telephone rings? You know, that's kind of like a traumatic experience. Being a man of the house, I thought, okay, I'll answer the phone. I'm going to say the first thing that I think of. I went, picked up that phone, and I said, hello? That's all I could think of. Fortunately for me, on the other end of the line was a Belarusian woman named Larissa Pichinuk. She was a professor at a university. After introducing herself, she said something that was very, very strange. She said, I have heard you on our national radio, and I would like to come and talk to you about your work in my country. I said, ma'am, I don't know who you are. I have no idea what you've been listening to, but I have never been on your radio. To this day, she claims she heard me on her radio. Now, when I say that some places, people just go, well, how could that happen? I got an answer. Here's my answer. I don't know. Listen, if you can explain a miracle, it's not a miracle. How does God heal cancer? I don't know, but God heals cancer. How does God raise the dead? I don't know, but God raised the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? I don't really care if people believe me or not because it still happened. You can't take that miracle away from me. That lady came to her house, spoke to us. She said, I'm going to help you. She came back in a few days. She said, Ray, I got great news for you. I got you a job teaching at a university. I ended up teaching at four universities. I said, great, Larissa, what will I teach? She said, marketing. Now, here I am, a missionary. I have to send a newsletter home. Pray for me. Send your money. I'm teaching marketing. But I was able to teach marketing based on biblical principles, something I cannot do at a state university in America. From my first marketing class, two young men came to me and said, we want to know more about your God. I took them home, gave them a Bible study. They repented of their sins. We baptized them in Jesus' name. And today, Brother Pasha Rogich received the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And Brother Rogich is over all the churches in the country of Belarus. Because God makes a way where there is no way. Let me tell you something. You want the blessings of God? You gotta have a revelation. Here's the revelation. God knows more than you do. I know you say you believe that, but we don't live that way. Amen. Did you ever notice when you do things your way, you never get a miracle? But when you do them God's way, you do. Amen. We started having church. We went up, it was mostly university students. We went up to 120 people, like, boom, almost overnight. It was incredible. There was such a hunger. Back there, when you taught, you couldn't talk about David. They go, David who? You'd have to go back to Adam and Eve. They knew nothing. I held up a bottle of oil at one Sunday service, and I said, if there's any sick among you, we can anoint you with oil in Jesus' name, and God will heal you. That Sunday morning, we had a first-time visitor. It was an elderly woman sitting in the back. She was carrying a little girl in her lap. I found out later it was her 4-year-old granddaughter. When I talked about healing, she stood up. She walked up to me. She stood there and looked up at me and said, can your Jesus heal my granddaughter? I said, yes, he can. What's the problem? She showed me that her granddaughter was born with a crooked foot. She wore a corrective shoe because one foot pointed in towards the other leg. And without that shoe, she could barely walk. We anointed that little girl with oil in Jesus' name. I held her foot just like this. As we prayed, God began to turn that foot. By the time we were done praying, that foot was completely straightened out. That girl can walk, hop, skip, jump like any other child her age, because our God is the God of all flesh, and our God can do anything. Amen. As the Russians say, Nash Bog Semagusha Bog. In Russian, that means our God is an awesome God. Sounds stronger in Russian, doesn't it? Nash Bog Semagusha Bog. You know why? Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, there came on the day of Pentecost, as it were, the sound of a mighty Russian wind. Yeah. Yeah. If I'm wrong, your pastor can correct it, but I'm telling you. I'm in a city of 2 million people. One day, a man knocks on my door. I never saw him before. I didn't know who he was. How in the world he ever found me, because he traveled from a city that was 4 hours away by car. He came by train. He introduced himself as Alexander Baran. Brother Baran grew up under communism. His parents were in and out of prison for being Christians. And after we talked, I found out that he had a Bible school over in Brest, which is over by the Polish border. So one Saturday, I decided I was going to go see his Bible school. So I got my car, I drove there, and when I got there, it was too late. Bible school was just getting over. So I'm standing in the back, and people are walking past me. There were two young girls, and they kind of fastened their eyes on me. And they walked up to me. One of them had a book in her hand. She went like this. She said, this is what we believe. So I took the book. It was written in Russian. And the title in Russian said, The Oneness of God by David K. Bernard. I said, well, hallelujah, sister. I said, that's what I believe. Brother Bernard's in our organization. She said, here's a phone number of our elders. She said, would you make contact with them and come and preach? I know they'll want you to come preach. I made contact with them. They lived in a little village called Masti. And Masti is like stepping into the 1800s. There's no conveniences in the farmhouse. and they still plowed with a horse and plow. And when I got there, a lot of them were elderly, and these are what we refer to as Urshanites. See, they were young children when Andrew Urshan was preaching the gospel before the Russian Revolution. They remember Urshan. They remember their parents being baptized and receiving the Holy Ghost under Urshan. Hallelujah. And now they asked me to preach. Before I preached, we were in their living room. We had song service. And after each chorus, somebody, you know, we'd worship a little bit. And in the back was a young girl named Svetlana. Now, Svetlana, every time she prayed, it sounded like she was speaking American English. But I know that's not possible because I'm in a remote corner of Belarus where nobody speaks English. But after hearing it a few times, I finally got up and I said, listen, I don't mean to interrupt the service, but I said, sister, do you speak English? When I said that, the congregation laughed. And in Russian, she said, brother, I don't know one word of English. I said, let me tell you something. You may not know English, but every time you speak in tongues, you speak American English, and I happen to be an American. I said, how would you like to know what you're saying when you speak in tongues? She said, brother, tell me. I don't remember everything, but I remember this. She was saying, God, my God, Father, my Father, I have joy, joy, joy. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost is not real. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost is not for today. God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. There is no government. There is no military. There is no institution that can stop our God. Amen. I was in another country years later. Same thing happened. I prayed for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost speaking in English. We have one pastor named Valera. Valera pastors over on the west side of Belarus. If Valera was here and we were talking, he wouldn't understand one word we said. But every time, especially when he prays for somebody for healing, he has this whole string of English. He has no idea what he's saying, but I know what he's saying. Hallelujah. We had service. I preached in that living room. And over there, you have to preach for about an hour, hour and a half. And then they have an altar call that goes probably almost just as long. And when that's all over, they want you to preach another hour and a half. It would kill Americans. But see, when you don't have it, it means something to you. Amen. I preached, and during the altar call, after a while, they would get the ministry and take them out into the kitchen. They would feed the people in the ministry while everybody continued to worship God. When I was out there, I was eating with Brother Ivan and Brother Victor, the two elders. Ivan in Russian is Ivan. You'd know it as Ivan. And anyway, I looked at Brother Victor and I said, this blows my mind. I am an American and I'm preaching the gospel in the Soviet Union. I said, Brother Victor, does that blow your mind? He goes, doesn't blow my mind. I said, you got to be kidding me. It's a miracle. He said, Brother Nichols, you don't understand. When we were in the prison camps and the gulags out in Siberia, our conditions were so bad that the guards would leave us alone at night so we could have prayer meeting and we could worship God anytime we want. They were thankful for prison because they could worship God. That should be convicting. And he said, the day came. There was a service that came. That there was a prophecy that said, Brother Victor, the day will come when you will be released from this prison. And when you are, you will go to Masti and buy this very farmhouse. He said, Brother Nichols, two things wrong with that prophecy. Number one, I was in prison with no way out. Number two, I couldn't buy a farm because the farms were all owned by the government. But the prophecy went on and said, after you buy that house, a foreigner will come, preach the gospel in your living room with the windows open, signifying freedom of religion. He said, Brother Nichols, look at this. Today, I own the house. Today, you're the foreigner that God said would come, and you preach the gospel in my living room with the windows open, just like God said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I could go on and on. I could go hours and hours and hours. Listen, the book of Acts, you might have heard this maybe as a cliche, but it's absolutely true. The book of Acts is being written today. we go over in Central Asia and Kyrgyzstan. I remember going to Kyrgyzstan. It's an ISIS country, Al-Qaeda country. I remember we'd go to church, and there'd be the church, and then there'd be a compound with these big walls and concertina wire. Somebody would stand out at the gate to watch to make sure Al-Qaeda didn't come and shoot up the place. We did a seminar. We had 33 Christian leaders. They were Baptists. They were Presbyterian. They were Assemblies of God. They were Lutherans. And we had a seminar on this precious gospel. At the end of that seminar, 14 of those leaders received the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. 10 of them were baptized in Jesus' name. They went back and rebaptized their congregations. One of those pastors was a woman. That woman goes down south to where that country almost meets Afghanistan. One time before she had the Holy Ghost, before that conference, she was preaching the gospel. And they stoned her with stones and they left her for dead. But she didn't die. She healed from her wounds. And now at that conference, she received the Holy Ghost. And you know what she did? She went right back to the same village preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I come back to America where I read bumper stickers that say, "Honk if you love Jesus." And I think, are you serious? Even geese can honk. How about pay your tithes if you love Jesus? How about support your pastor if you love Jesus? How about give up your own stubborn ways and follow Jesus if you love Jesus? I'm not getting after you, please. I'm not trying to scold, but I do want to stir you up by way of remembrance, because I believe that we all love the Lord here. But sometimes we get rocked to sleep. You know, you probably know this in Texas, being so hot. You know, the same sun that melts wax, it hardens clay. And it can be like that with the Word of God. The Word of God is so precious. We can get so used to it, instead of it melting our hearts like it used to, we harden our hearts like clay against it. And we can come and go to church and go home, maybe feel guilt, goosebumps, but don't change, because we're so accustomed to hearing the Word of God. My wife and I are missionaries overseas, but every single one of you here is a missionary where you live. Not everybody in Texas will read their Bibles, but the Bible says that we are an epistle known and read of all men. What are people reading when they read your life? I heard a man witness to another man, and the man he witnessed to said, "I'm sorry, I can't hear you because your life is speaking too loudly." Young people, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're baptized in Jesus' name, you're the missionary in the school, not your pastor. Your pastor, it'd be strange for him to go there and hang around school. You're the missionary there. You work out in the workplace, you're the missionary in the workplace. You're the missionary in the grocery store, in the bank, the gas station, the neighborhood. America's in sore condition. This country I left 25 years ago is not the same as the one I left. I got news for you. Democrats are not going to save America. Neither are the Republicans, nor the independents. Only God is. And I don't blame the condition of America on the sinner, because sinners act like sinners, talk like sinners, dress like sinners, do what sinners do, and go where sinners go. But I blame the condition of America on the church. Because while we're patty caking for Jesus in these four walls, people are lost, dying, going to hell. I wonder if there's anybody here that will stand in the gap tonight. You feel a tug of God in your heart. God's spoken to you, or maybe convicted you, or you're not in the place that you should be. I wonder if you would step out of your aisle there and come to an altar and just stand before God and say, God, here I am, send me. Send me to the grocery store. Send me to the gas station. Send me to the neighbor. Send me to my classmates. You know, don't look around. You know, you don't need to look around. You know if God's talking to you or not. Praise the Lord. This is a time where we need to lift up our voices and cry out to our God, because God needs us. Praise the Lord. Let's just seek him, saints of God. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.